You can take your Bibles and go with me to Romans chapter 16 this evening. Romans 16. I almost feel a little guilty doing this too. It's not going to stop me, but I do feel a little guilty because I'm going to give you a quiz. And it's Sunday night. We've celebrated Christ's resurrection. Some of you probably ate even a little earlier than usual and are struggling with tiredness. Don't worry, nobody's coming after you. But I'm going to give you a quiz anyway. You don't have to. You can write your answers down if you want, or just keep track of them in your mind. You may not know the exact year, that's fine. But I want you to think of three names of people who have been at Bible Baptist Church 20 years or longer. Now, don't cheat and be like, oh, I can grab a husband and a wife and a kid. Okay? Three names of people that have been at Bible Baptist Church 20 years or longer. Got your answers? If it's like, well, I'm not sure if it's 19 or 20, good for you that you can think even that precisely. All right, so next, I'm looking for three names of people who have been at Bible Baptist Church somewhere between 1 and 20 years. Or 19 years, 364 days for the really precise ones in our midst. Three names, somewhere between 1 and 20 years. All right, next one. Give me three names of people who've been at Bible Baptist Church somewhere between 3 months and a year. You know what the last question is? Give me three names of someone who either today was their first Sunday, and there were some, up to 3 months. Kind of a fun exercise, because the Lord's brought a lot of different people in our doors, even in the last year, and it's an opportunity to exercise some of what the text we're going to look at tonight tells us. And at the same time, the people who've been here 40 years, we have an opportunity to practice some of what the text tells us. And you're like, I'm not good with names. Well, this passage of Scripture is for you. Okay, maybe this should be like responsive reading where we all read together. I won't do that to you. But let's read Romans 16, verses 1 through 16, or you can follow along as I work my way through all these names. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Centria, that she receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that she assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have, for my life, laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who are also in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus and Phlegon and Hermas and Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. I don't know if you've ever had experience where maybe you're going through conversation with a friend, coworker, maybe family member, and you just kind of missed the obvious. I find that all too often where I'm like, I'm listening, I think I'm paying attention, but like I'm just not piecing it together. And often my wife is the one who's the brunt of that, where I missed it, okay? I think this is one of those texts that we can get to in Scripture, whereas we're reading through, we're like, okay, name, name. Oh, that's an interesting detail about that name, name, name. And sometimes we miss something that's really obvious. And we have a pretty simple thought in front of us this evening. But admittedly, there's a side of me that wishes we could do this and wanted to kind of do this on a Sunday morning. And yet as I work through what the Lord would have us do, I'm like, well, we're going to do this tonight. And I will say, this is an area, what we're going to look at in Scripture, where at the same time, I'm encouraged at the job that our church does with the command here. And as I say that, like, that's one of those things pastorally you probably shouldn't say, because then individually we can be like, yep, we're good. I'm glad our church does this. But if the Spirit of God challenges you with the thought we're going to see, respond in obedience. Follow through. Grow in this area. Because I will tell you, as I've seen our church grow in this area, God has given us more opportunity to grow in the area that we're going to touch on this evening in Romans 16. 26 names, 16 verses. Like, you thought I was asking a lot of you. I only asked you for 12 names. Okay? And they're a lot easier to pronounce than the ones in this text. Okay? But 26 names in 16 verses, often associated with a one another, a command for us that is very simple, and it is this: greet one another. Greet one another. And I want us to see what God has put here in His Word. Again, this is inspired Scripture, and theologically, doctrinally, we go, every word of God is inspired, and we'd better hold on to that truth. And if we believe that, then the question becomes, so how do we apply this text? What do we learn from this text? How do we grow because of this text? And one, there's multiple layers, I think, multiple applications we could make, but one of them for us is to know the people around us and to greet them because of the fellowship that we have through Jesus Christ. It's been quite a while ago in our One Another series. Back in January, we were in 1 John chapter 1 and reminding ourselves of how in Christ we have fellowship one with another. At a very simple level, part of that fellowship then is to be greeting one another. And so as we look at the command first to greet one another, let's see its emphatic repetition. It's emphatic repetition. 17 times in just 14 verses, we're told, greet this person, greet this person, salute this person, greet this person. And I won't go through all the commands again, but if you were to look back through them, sometimes it is prescriptive. This is something that you need to do. In fact, often that's the case. There are other times where it is descriptive. Here's what others have done. In other words, this is reciprocal. There are people being told, make sure this happens on our behalf. We're extending greetings to them. But on the flip side, there are people also sending back greetings as well. So on the descriptive side, the end of verse 16 told us, the churches of Christ greet you. They salute you. They're recognizing you. And once again, much like genealogies, this is one of those sections of Scripture where we can just kind of fly through. But the sheer number of times that the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God, writes this should give us pause. Like, he's finishing up the letter, and he could just sign off and be done. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, amen, and we're over. And yet, the Spirit of God is saying, hey, greet so-and-so, and greet so-and-so, and greet so-and-so. Like, how many people did you meet this morning? How many people did you greet this morning? And again, this is a letter that's being written. There's a lot of application, like in how we engage our missionaries. We can do this to be able to email them, to pray for them, to send greetings to them, to their children. Okay, there's a lot of ways we can apply this, but certainly one of our applications, what happens when we gather? What happens when we seek to greet one another as well? Clearly, you see in the text an emphatic repetition of this command to greet one another. But beyond its emphatic repetition, let's consider its definition secondly. It's been translated already through the text as greet or salute, but I want to go to the dictionary or the lexicon, if you will, to give you multiple definitions, maybe to expand our understanding. On the one hand, it means to engage in hospitable recognition of another or to welcome. To engage in hospitable recognition of another or welcome. It includes the ideas of words and gestures at the same time. It carries the idea of happiness, maybe with a smile or at least a sign of respect, just in the idea of the word. It denotes more, this was a definition I appreciated as I was looking this last week, it denotes more than a perfunctory salutation, like, this is my duty. Hey, good morning, how are you? Like, that's how we can often walk into church. I'm good, how are you? And we didn't even like stop to think about what question they asked. We're kind of on passing each other as we go. This word is calling for more than just perfunctory or duty greetings. It requires some such rendering as spend time in warm exchange. Okay? So those who are writing the dictionary for Greek lexicon are saying it denotes more than perfunctory salutation, dutiful greeting, requires some such rendering like spend time in warm exchange. And admittedly, by personality, there are some in this room who are gifted and wired that way. And there are others who aren't. Okay? We ought to find challenge in both cases to obey this command. Finally, it carries the idea of to express happiness about the arrival of someone, to greet, to receive joyfully. So think again about all the different ways that we do this today. There are very casual ways where we're saying hello, or even we're just waving at someone with a smile because we want them to know we're glad to see them. We're not so self-focused, kind of wrapped up in our own world that we miss this fact. We want to encourage. Certainly could be a handshake. Could be done formally. Even in today, it might be giving someone a hug. We recognize in other cultures, in some places, they bow, right? As a sign of respect, as a sign of recognition as well. Think about the context that this is being written in. New Testament times, you think about the book of Romans, even like 1st and 2nd Peter, certainly persecution is present. Many believers were socially isolated. At times, cast out from their home, some losing their families. And yet, Paul is emphasizing the ability and necessity of greeting one another warmly with love and respect, saying it's vital. There's a unique relationship, a unique bond that's formed here today. For us, it can be far too easy to go, well, we live in kind of a socially dysfunctional time where we just go into our homes, lock our doors, don't answer if someone knocks, check the phone to make sure who it is first, and then we'll just mediate all of our communication through our devices so I can hold you at arm's length. This command calls for interpersonal interaction, face-to-face, to warmly greet one another. Having looked at its emphatic repetition and its definition, notice third, its manner of expression here in verse 16 particularly. It's an oft-quoted statement, but I want us to see it in Scripture. This is the imperative. This is the one another, where he says, salute one another or greet one another with an holy kiss. We won't go through all of them, but this phrase is found five different times in the New Testament. Like, that's why it's a command that, like, we know, we've heard. Understand rightly that in its expression, this obviously is not a romantic issue. We'll see that even in the language in just a moment. This is a common method of greeting. Now, again, I think there are probably several of us who in our culture today are glad we don't live in one of those cultures where it's like kiss on the right side of the cheek, kiss on the left side of the cheek, we're good. Like, glad that's not our practice here. But we do recognize that in different cultures, much like this time here, that was their method of showing respect and a caring greeting. Our culture is different today, and I would contend we are still responsible to warmly greet people, even if it's just giving them a handshake, looking them in the eye, smiling, and talking to them to let them know we care, we're interested in how they are doing. Even what we see here in the manner of the cultural expression of that day points to why what Judas did was all the more devastating. Judas greets Jesus with a kiss in the garden. It's Master! Like, this is how I'm supposed to address you. This is the appropriate right way. Meanwhile, he's betraying him to the religious leaders. for us, what we ought to walk away with by way of principle is that we are to greet people warmly, rightly, and then we might also say appropriately. In the text, the expression here is greet one another with a holy kiss. That's something that is set apart, that's distinct. It meets a standard of rightness. There's no ill motive here. But when the love of God is present in our heart to see a brother or sister in Christ and to sincerely and unselfishly greet them with a desire to know how they are doing and to express care and appreciation for them. In fact, you walk through the text and over here, it's appreciation for this person and what they've done. It's recognition of their circumstances and what they've been through. I would contend that this idea of greeting in the text balances a love for these people with a respect for these people, an admiration for what they've done, while also an affection and care for them. It is the one simple, very, very simple expression of Jesus' instruction in John 13 that we would be marked as disciples of his by the love that we have for one another. By the fact that we do care for the people around us, that we do want to greet them, that we do want to get to know them, that we're not just simply going to avoid them. And on just a very practical level, like maybe not believers all the time, but I would just encourage you, keep meeting people at church, because every week there are new people coming in. And whether they're a believer, they deserve to be greeted warmly, rightly. That's what the text calls us to. Or if they're an unbeliever, there's an opportunity to demonstrate for them, here's the love of Christ. I'm interested in you. And again, so many do well with this, but that does not excuse those who need to grow in this area. Who knows how God might use you in someone's life simply because you cared, you asked, you invested in the people around you. It'd be great for us to be able to go, you know what, let's write down our list of names. Sometimes you have to work, by the way, for church, just as a quick aside. There are some who bail very quickly after church. And so it's like, you know what? I got to catch them. I would love to talk to so-and-so, but I can catch them tonight because they'll be at evening church. They won't. Okay? But to realize there's an opportunity just to greet and love those around us. Having looked at the command, let's look secondly at some additional considerations. And we'll do that in the context of the first century as Paul is writing, and then we want to do that briefly in our context as well. I've already mentioned by way of an additional consideration that the quantity of those present, there's 26 individuals here. There's at least two families that are listed. And in addition to those 26 individuals, two families, there's as many as three house churches that are referenced as well. So he's touching on individuals, he's touching on families, he's touching on entire churches that are meeting in houses within this context, and he's expressing greeting. Like, Paul's heart is big enough to reach out to all of them. He's not limited like, well, you know what, I got my five friends, and that's about all I can handle. Not only is there the quantity of people and groups mentioned here, there's also incredible diversity present. We'll touch on some of these as we kind of work our way quickly through the text, but you're going to see diversity economically, occupationally, ministerially, culturally. You're going to see men listed and women listed, nine women listed particularly. You're going to see different family relationships pointed out as well. This isn't intended to be comprehensive or definitive, but let's just walk through some of the names that are here. In verses 3 and 4, Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned. They ministered along with Paul. We're told what they did by way of occupation as tent makers. Paul left them back in Ephesus in Acts chapter 18 so that they could teach Apollos and help him grow in the faith. And while Paul is now separated from them, he can look back on them and say, greet them. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for their ministry, and extends greetings because they are fellow laborers. They're fellow helpers. I often refer to it this way. There are people that you go through life and like, these are my battle buddies. Like, we go to war together. In the church context, we serve together. And Paul's saying, hey, greet them. And I hope there are connections that you have where you're like, you know what? These are my fellow laborers. We've been through thick and thin together. I want to greet them. I want them to know that they are appreciated. that they are recognized. He says there later on, salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is of the first fruits of Achaia into Christ. He's like, here's one of the first converts from our time ministering in Achaia again. It's like, greet that individual as well. We come to a lady, verse 6, greet Mary. She's bestowed much labor. Like, when he looks at Mary, he thinks, this is someone who has dedicated herself to service. And so greet her as well. She stands out in his mind. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen. And then he says, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who were also before Christ in me. He's like, they preceded Paul in salvation, but they were also thrown into jail. Like, they had been known by other apostles before Paul, but they went to jail for their testimony, and they're held in high regard as a result. These are the people that, again, society could look at and be like, they're outcasts. They were imprisoned. And yet Paul cares for them and seeks to greet them. Verse 8, greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Again, you can chuck this if you want, but based on history and archaeology, it's believed this is someone who is probably a slave based on his name and an inscription that's found that's geographically appropriate. It could be that that's who Paul is greeting here. Verse 9, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, Stachys, my beloved, Apelles, approved in Christ. Even Apelles being approved, that word for being approved is often someone who passed the test through persecution, someone who has endured. That's how the approval came. Not just like, well, you know what, they got a check mark because we like them. But no, they went through testing. Greet this one as well. And you know, implication, provide encouragement as a result. Aristobulus' household is mentioned. It may be that he's the brother of King Herod Agrippa. He would have been dead at that time, which is why it would be fitting if his household was greeted here. Same comes into view with Herodian, my kinsman, another possible connection to the one of the Herodians. And the point there being, whether you're talking about Aristobulus or Herodian, if we're looking politically into the government, and then previously, we're looking into people who were slaves and prisoners. He's greeting an entire spectrum along the way. And again, God gives us opportunity. That's part of the beauty of the church, to look around in a church and go, there are people with all kinds of different backgrounds. And the reason they've gathered together is the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to go greet them in the Lord. You continue looking, he notes Tryphena and Tryphosa, verse 12, who labor in the Lord. Like, again, a testimony for us to aspire to. Like, our names really don't matter. But here are two individuals. We don't know anything about them, but we know this. They worked hard in their ministry for the Lord. What a commendation. Because they labored in the Lord, so greet them. Salute beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Same idea there. It says, salute Rufus, or greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord and his mother and mine. And then we have several more names that are given. I would simply point out this as you work through all of those, is that Christianity occurs in the context of relationships. And so he's listing all these different names, and he's greeting them. He's wanting to express affection for them, appreciation or respect for them as well. I would encourage us to be seeking to do the same, to be greeting others, to interact with many people. When it comes to our application or our context, I would remind us greetings can involve words and actions, but they also really ought to be an expression of our love as disciples of Christ. To be intentional, not just kind of customary or reactionary, like this is just what we do. This is just what we say, but very intentionally thinking through how we engage one another to extend a greeting. Trying to do it in a way that is communicating to them, not just simply like our security. We know what it's like when you have those awkward exchanges with someone, right? You get well-intentioned, but you gave the short handshake and they grabbed your fingers and like, this is really weird. Or are they ever going to let go of my hand, right? But to go, you know what, I want this person to understand I do care about them. I am interested in them. So greet one another. I would encourage all of us to walk into church with a prepared thought to express care and concern for those around us, asking questions about them, putting them first, seeking to reach out rather than to be reached out to greet one another, showing the bond that is established through Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the reminders of this text, the challenge that there are many different people, different walks of life, some coming through hard circumstances, some in more privileged settings, that deserve greeting, that need to be appreciated, that need to have affection and care shown for them. Lord, I pray for our church that we would be greeting one another, greeting those who come in our doors. But Lord, I pray that we would also be extending that love to our missionary families, the ministries that you've called them to. And then, Lord, at the same time, the guests that you bring to us as well. That, Lord, we might be marked in a unique way by the love that you've shown to us, even in the way that we greet one another. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.